Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
In this last commandment, in the 10th commandment, God forbids his people, God forbids you, God forbids me from coveting. You shall not covet. So a fair question, a good question, a question that you may have is this: what exactly is coveting? What does it mean to covet? If God does not want me to do it, then what does it mean? It's not a word, covet is not a word that we typically use on a daily basis. It's not a word as common to our vocabulary as those in some of the other commandments, like murder or steal. Well, covet means to crave for something, to yearn for something, to long for something that belongs to someone else. You covet when you set your heart on that which belongs to another. In other words, you covet when you want what your neighbor has. Now, this is an important distinction. Coveting is not just wanting something you don't have. And for example, if you don't have a couch in your home and you want a couch, you want to enjoy the comfort of a couch, that is not coveting. When you covet, you can have a couch or not have a couch. That makes no difference. The difference is that you want someone else's couch. You've seen a friend's couch or a neighbor's couch or a relative's couch. It's the most comfortable couch that you've ever sat on. The design and the color would look perfect in your living room, and you have to have it, that one. That's coveting. It's a sin of desire. Specifically, a desire to gain what someone else has, a desire to possess what someone else has. Thomas Watson was a preacher, a popular preacher in 17th century London. He wrote an excellent book on the Ten Commandments. Actually, it was a commentary on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And in this book, he defines coveting like this. This is what Watson says. Coveting is an insatiable desire of getting the world. An insatiable desire of getting the world. Now, what Watson means by the world is the created order separate from God. What he means by the world are the things of the world, the things that the world has to offer, the things that the world has as opposed to God. Coveting is having an unquenchable thirst, an unappeasable appetite, an insatiable desire for the things of the world, especially the things that your neighbor has. Now, the commandment itself, the wording of the commandment, shows us that coveting has to do with things, material things, tangible, possessable things. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey. The commandment says don't covet your neighbor's wife. Now, true, a wife is not a possession. The scriptures never say that a woman is the possession of a man. The belonging has to do with the relationship. And in a culture like the Israelites, where the male is the most important figure in the society, wife is included here as part of the household. But it also shows that coveting is related to sexual sin. Coveting is related to lust and a desire to possess sexually. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't desire your neighbor's servants. Don't desire your neighbor's livestock. Don't make your heart's desire your neighbor's relationships. Don't make your heart's desire your neighbor's possessions. Now, today in the 21st century American culture, we may not value oxen or donkeys or servants like 3,500 years ago when God spoke this command, but we certainly have our own list of items that we covet. Houses, that's mentioned in the command. Cars, clothing, electronic gadgets. I mean, the commandment makes clear that the brief list of relationships and possessions is not exhausted. Listen to the last part of the command again. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Don't covet anything that your neighbor has, anything. Not only possessions, but also don't covet your neighbor's age or physical attributes or situation in life or job or family or school, education, their health, their gifts, their friends, their grades, their vacation destinations, anything. Don't covet, don't desire anything of your neighbors. Now we have to pause here just for a moment to talk about desire. Coveting is the sin of desire. But not all desire is sinful. I mean, God created desire and created us with desire that is good. For example, when we are hungry, we have a desire for food. We have a desire for friendship. We have a desire to be in community, to be accepted. We have a desire for intimacy, a desire for sexual intimacy that leads to marriage. We have a desire to be fulfilled in using our gifts and abilities. And we have a desire for God. But like all good things that God created, desire is corrupted by sin. Our sinful hearts corrupt desire. Sin pollutes desire. Sin warps desire. And so we covet. We're not satisfied with the food that we are given. We're not satisfied with the friendships that we are given. We're not satisfied with the intimacy that we're given. We're not satisfied with their gifts and abilities. We're not satisfied with God. We desire something else. Our hearts are restless and yearn for something else. We look around and we see what others have. And we want it. Desire it. That's coveting. That's breaking the 10th commandment. And we need to point out that this commandment, the 10th commandment, is different from all the rest except for the first commandment. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. The first and the 10th commandment serve like bookends of the 10 commandments because both cut straight to the heart. The 10th commandment is a matter of the heart. Now, the other eight condemn outward actions, making idols, working on the Sabbath, committing adultery, murdering, stealing. And as we have seen and spent the past few months showing, these sins are also a matter of the heart. Jesus shows in his teachings that these commands are a matter of the heart, but they start on the outside. They begin with their actions and then work into our hearts as we learn to apply them. Well, the 10th commandment is different. The 10th commandment starts on the inside. Instead of an action, the 10th commandment points to the heart. It points to desire, to want, to yearning, to craving. The 10th commandment seeks to govern the heart, put a fence around the heart. The 10th commandment shows that the law is about the heart, that God not only judges our actions, but God also judges our hearts and our thoughts, our intentions, our desires. And God knows our desires. The Father knows your sinful desires. He knows your restless heart. And much of our sinful desire, much of our covetousness or breaking the 10th commandment, indeed, much of our frustration in life springs from a heart that's restless. It springs from a heart that is not content. Now think about it. How often have you thought, How often have you said, how often have you believed that if you only had this one thing, and you know others who have it, you see others who have it. If you could just get it, that one thing, then finally life would be good. Finally, you would be happy. Finally, you would be settled. Finally, you would be content. If you only had that house, if you only had that degree, if you only had that job, if you could just retire, if you could just get that grade in your class, if you could just date that person, if you could just get rid of that debt, if you could just lose that weight, if you could just only just get a new phone, if your children just listened to you better, if you were just a little more organized, if you could only live there, then you would be happy. Then you would be settled. Then life would be good. Then you would be content. Well, this is breaking the 10th commandment. This is coveting. You've set your heart on something of the world. You've set your heart on something that you don't have and others do. Your focus is upon it. Your thoughts are on it. You desire it. Your happiness has become tied up in it. Your joy is conditioned upon gaining it. Your worth is found in acquiring it. Your life is now centered around it. In other words, this thing you desire has now become God in your life. It's become an idol. Your restless heart has moved you to idolatry. Although it's been some time, we spent several weeks talking about idols when we looked at the first commandment. And this is what we found. An idol is whatever in your life is more important than God. An idol is whatever you give ultimate worth to in your life. An idol is whatever you serve, whatever you sacrifice your time and energy and thoughts to. You see, the 10th commandment is related to the first commandment. The law really comes full circle. And the Apostle Paul shows this link. The Apostle Paul shows the connection between these two sins, coveting and idolatry, in his letter to the Colossians. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul writes, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Covetousness, which is idolatry. And what begins as desire can bloom into idolatry, all because of our sinful hearts, all because of our broken hearts, all because of our restless hearts. And you'll find, if you haven't already, you'll find when you do acquire that one thing that you've sought after, that one thing that your heart desires, you'll find that when you acquire it, you're still not satisfied. Your heart is not at rest. And soon you're going to seek one more thing. In forbidding coveting, the 10th commandment serves to govern the desires of our hearts. That's the negative side of the commandment. But we've seen in the other commandments, each commandment has a positive side and a negative side. If the commandment forbids a behavior, it also prescribes a behavior. For example, in the 9th commandment, God forbids us to lie. But his desire is for us to be truth tellers. In the 8th commandment, God forbids us to steal. But his desire is for us to be giving. In the 7th commandment, God forbids us to murder. And his desire is for us to protect life. And here in the 10th commandment, God forbids us to covet. He wants us to be content. He wants you to be content. You know, rather than a restless heart full of desire, God wants you to have a heart that is content. I'm going to ask you a question right now. Is this your state of being? Is this how you would describe your life? Right now, are you content? Now, before you give a definitive answer, let's look at what it means to be content. The Apostle Paul speaks to this in our New Testament reading from Philippians. Listen again to part of our passage from Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." Paul says that he is content in whatever situation. He's content. In the ups and the downs, he's content. In the joys and the sorrows, he's content. In plenty and in want, he's content. In abundance and need, in the midst of persecution, in the face of death, Paul is content. His heart is at rest. Now, Paul shows, as the rest of Scripture does, that contentment is being satisfied in God. So satisfied that you accept what God has or has not provided. In other words, you receive whatever His providential hand gives you, knowing that it's given out of love. Knowing that it is with your best interest in mind. Therefore, contentment is desiring what God wants for us. Contentment is desiring what God wants for us rather than what we want for us. And when you are content, when you are so satisfied in God, you accept what He has given or not given you. When you desire what God wants, then there is no need to covet. There's no need to desire what others have around you. So how? How do you do that? How did Paul do that? What is the secret to contentment? Well, he tells us in the very next verse. Listen again to Philippians 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Paul can do all things through Him that strengthens me. And the Him in that sentence is Jesus. Paul is content in Jesus. Paul is content because of Jesus. Paul is content through Jesus Christ. His heart is at rest in Jesus. His heart is at rest because of Jesus. His heart is at rest through Jesus. And he is continually strengthened by Jesus to be content in Him. Paul is saying that our restless hearts find rest in Jesus. That's the only way to find rest. Jesus is all we should desire. He is our heart's desire. That's how God made us. That's how God made you, with a heart longing for Him, a heart that will not be at rest until it rests in Him. Now, some make the mistake, I hope that's not you, some make the mistake of thinking that Jesus is a means to something better. If I follow Jesus, then all my problems will go away. Everything will start going right. If I follow Jesus, then maybe I'll get that job that I really want. If I follow Jesus, then my health will return. If I follow Jesus, then I'm finally going to be happy. That treats Jesus as a means to an end, your end, whatever end you have in mind. It treats Jesus as a stepping stone to getting what you want. Well, the truth is, Jesus is the means and the end. The truth is that Jesus is the something better. He is our heart's desire. He is forgiveness. He is life. He is salvation. He is joy. He is peace. He is truth. He is love. He is grace. He is God. He promises to always be with you. And the Father has given him to us. What more do our restless hearts need? What more does your restless heart need? Again, are you content? Are you content? Well, in Jesus, you will find forgiveness for coveting. In Jesus, you will find forgiveness for sinful desire. And in Jesus, you will find contentment.
Thank you for Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.